This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Maddie Sofia here. If you're like me, maybe you're spending a lot of time lately reading the news, scrolling through Twitter, maybe too much time, which probably means you need a little break. So we're trying something new here, a shortwave movie club, where we talk about a movie and the science in them with someone who has a lot to say about both. And personal host promise, we will not be doing Contagion. Okay, here's the show. You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Ali Burgos still remembers the first time she saw it. I mean, we all do.
I was about in fourth grade. It was maybe around midnight, probably not that late because my parents probably wouldn't let me stay up that late, but curtains drawn. I was knitting and I happened to come across.
I was knitting.
Yeah.
Real quick.
And I happened to come across this movie on TV. It's just flipping channels, you know, and I saw a tornado. So I started watching it and I was just mesmerized. I remember my dad coming down and like yelling at me to go to bed. And I was like, just wait one more minute. Like, I need to keep watching this.
Which she did. And she saw the defining weather film of 1996, a movie I love to hate, Twister, starring Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. In the movie, they chase down tornadoes, trying to find a way to study them up close and personal. And eventually, they end up finding each other.
Like, it is such a good kind of bad movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's one of those things that you just watch and you're like, oh, it's so good, but so bad at the same time.
Yeah. So today, our first shortwave movie club, we're talking one of my personal favorites, Twister, with Ali Burgos, meteorologist and analyst for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I'm Maddie Sofia, and this is Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org. This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC.
All right, here's the plan. I'm going to talk about some scenes in the movie, and Allie's going to tell us about the science. Here we go. In pretty much any scene with a tornado, it makes this sound.
It's so ridiculous because tornadoes don't sound like a roaring lion, for one.
Sure?
I'm pretty darn sure. I think when I was reading a little bit about the movie, they really wanted to make the tornado seem like, you know, a person or like this thing with like character and soul. And generally, tornadoes actually sound more like this constant low rumble sound or more like a rushing train.
All right. Next up, something they got kind of right. The whole movie, the scientists are trying to get this instrument called Dorothy into the path of a tornado.
We put her up inside a tornado.
So that it'll get sucked up and send out readings from the inside.
And radio back information about the internal structure, wind velocities, flow asymmetries. We could learn more in 30 seconds than they have in the past 30 years. Get a profile of a tornado for the first time.
And the cool thing is that these instruments are real. Scientists actually tried a version of this in the 80s.
Right, yeah. So they modeled Dorothy after a real instrument called Toto from Wizard of Oz, you know, the little dog Toto. That's why they named it. And so the basic idea was to put that in the path of a tornado, and it had, it could measure temperature and pressure and winds, because what they really needed was to be able to get measurements real time. So they only had things from radar and from Doppler. So that's all from far away, measuring all of those things. And they tried it a couple of times, and it's really dangerous, as the movie shows, of trying to put something into a tornado's path. But now they actually have a new program that NOAA is starting to fund called TORUS. And this is taking really small weather balloons and putting instruments on that and flying them up into a tornado.
Okay.
So the balloon kind of takes that instrument package with it versus having to put a big clunky metal thing right in the path.
Right.
Of the
so
tornado.
We've come a long way from like dropping something off a pickup truck and hoping that it gets put into the center of the tornado. So cool. So the instrumentation, while it wasn't like trying to measure exactly the same things, was actually based off of a real experiment.
Yeah, the exact concept behind it was the same.
So the last big scene of the movie is perhaps, and this is saying a lot,
best scene of the movie, let's be honest. It's the best scene.
So the main characters are trying to get as close to an F5 tornado, great idea, as they possibly can. And they deliver this device into the tornado, and they kind of like get stuck on this farm, right?
They're trying to run away from the tornado at the same time.
Good point.
Which you couldn't do in real life.
Okay, this is good, because this is something I wanted to ask you about. But they basically find their way into this tiny shed. Bill Paxton is like, it's fine, we're going to tether ourselves to this pipe that goes really deep in the ground.
Yeah. These pipes go down at least 30 feet. We anchor two, we might have a chance.
With these two leather straps. And then an F5 tornado rolls over the shed. rips the shed out of the ground. They're like being pulled up into the center of the tornado.
Hang on!
One, it is the most fun scene of the movie. You feel like you're inside of that tornado with them. You see lightning bolts going on. There are multiple mini tornadoes within the big tornado.
But then the tornado passes, and they're totally fine.
Perfectly fine, yes. The biggest issue with that scene is that if you did have supposedly an EF5 tornado, which you wouldn't be able to tell just looking at it, is that all of the debris flying on around them would most likely kill them. An EF5 tornado has winds upwards of 300 miles an hour.
Wow.
So even if you have a small, you know, a small screwdriver, for example, if that's flying at that speed and hits you, you're gone.
Yeah.
And if you saw in that scene, there is a shed and it's like full of like farming equipment, like saws and axes.
Yeah.
And they would probably get hit by something like that.
Yeah.
But it certainly makes it a fun scene.
So tell me, when you were saying you can't tell just by looking at it, because they're like, this is an F5.
Right. Yeah. So you can't actually determine the scale or the intensity of a tornado just by looking at it. What scientists have to do is do a damage survey afterwards and see all of the damage that the tornado caused. And then from that, they can determine the intensity.
The F4 that hit Waukeeta has now moved on to the northeast. I've just gotten word in that an even stronger tornado has now started to form 25 miles south of Waukeeta.
So at no point can you, like, predict that a tornado is going to be an F5 before it happens.
Correct, exactly.
You would have to do the damage report, and then you say, okay, based on this and this.
Right, and they were just going by, you know, bigger tornado means stronger, more violent, and that's not always the case. You can actually have tornadoes that are look pretty small, but that are very, very violent.
Okay, all right, so we have hated on Twister a little bit by now, but I feel like a lot of times in science movies, the scientists seem like pretty buttoned up, like definitely predominantly male, which they still are in this movie, but, you know, the lead researcher in this movie is a woman. She's got a personal stake in her science. She's really passionate about helping people. And that, like, kind of stuck with me for sure.
Yeah, I think that stuck with a lot of people. And I think a lot of people also don't realize that there are tons and tons of researchers out in the field. And so it's really cool just seeing people, like, down and getting their hands dirty and really putting their kind of, like, heart and soul, especially into something that is so important to help people.
And you told me that this movie played a big role in your life, too.
Oh, definitely. I was one of those weird kids that watched the Weather Channel every morning, waking up from school.
That's a normal type of kid.
Yeah. And so Twister definitely kind of showed me that there's another side of science besides just being a TV broadcaster. Like, you can go out and research these things. And going into college to study meteorology, my parents actually bought me that movie as a parting gift on DVD.
So, like, it's fair to say that this movie inspired you in some way to go into your field.
Oh, definitely. And I think it inspired a lot of people, too. I know all of my meteorology friends speak very fondly of this movie when they were kids.
Thanks to Ali Burgos, meteorologist and analyst for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. If there's a movie or a TV show that you've seen lately that features some interesting science to talk about, email us at shortwave@npr.org. This episode was produced by Rebecca Ramirez and Brett Bachman and edited by Viet Le. Emily Vaughn checked the facts. The real facts, not the twister facts. I'm Maddie Sofia, back tomorrow with more Shortwave from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Indeed. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/shortwave. Terms and conditions apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.